Welcome back to another episode of Podcast P, presented to you by Prize Picks, a Wave Sports and Entertainment original. I got my guys, Dallas Rutherford and Jackie Long.
Yeah, yeah.
How we feeling today, fellas?
Indubitably.
Indubitably.
It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Yes, sir.
Everybody had a good little what we had that. Y'all like our little post they posted for us? The Thanksgiving.
Beans. That was a classic post.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Y'all killed that. Good. Y'all did a good job with that.
Mom was like, can you send me that?
Your mama asked for that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when it was really good.
I had to send it to Mom's, but it is probably all over now.
You got to start dancing more, Dallas.
I showed it to my dad. He had no clue what was going on.
It was just a little bomb drop. GTA dropped a little bomb. GTA 6 coming out 2025. Look good. What's y'all takes on it?
I'm just mad at I ain't going to be in this one because you know I was in the one that's out now.
I didn't know that either.
You was in GTA 5?
I play D from Ballers, man. You know, I got a whole voice. I die up in it. My boy Hassan is up in it too. He the one that killed me. That's the funny part. Yeah, y'all ever seen do the story play where the dog is chasing him in the beginning and he running and they kidnapping, then they let him out, then he try to set him up all later. My name is D from Ballers, the Purple Gang.
Y'all
have
seen
me? Jackie has
is that
so
in Grove
random.
Street?
Huh?
Ballers in Grove Street?
I think, yeah, he was on the gang. Yep.
No, I tried
to set him up.
Wait, was that GTA 5 or that was?
The one that was, that's out now.
That's out now.
That's out now. That's me. Check it out. Go to the story mode. You can see it. My first scene starts up in the alley where I'm talking to a girl, highly disrespectful. And two dudes, they try to come up and try to shoot me, but I skate off on the motorcycle. Vroom, 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 vroom.
Yeah.
Get up out of there. Then I try to hide. The dog catch me later on in the little bins.
Okay.
And then he chased me down. Get me. They kidnap me and then bunk. Y'all see it? They know about it.
So
yep, put it all together. Boom, boom.
So with that being said, I mean, I'm guessing that's your favorite. That's your favorite GTA.
Beyond. I don't like no other GTAs but that one. You know?
What's your favorite one?
I'm more interested. I've never really been a GTA fan.
Really?
I don't want to sit up here and act like I've played it, but I've never. You know how I am. Some games is listening.
I'm about to say what you didn't like.
Yeah, I definitely never played GTA, but
Why?
I used to play a little bit.
Why?
Some fun things to do out there. But I'm more excited for the duty, you know, Warzone dropping and catch us. I can't wait.
Yeah.
No, I'm excited for
we'll
that.
We'll be on that tonight.
I'm a beast on that
tonight.
Right now.
Huh?
I'm a beast on Call of Duty right now.
Come on.
We just played with Jackie the other night. We played a whole map. He had three kills.
Three kills. A whole 20 minutes of gaming. He had three kills.
And do y'all want to know why?
Counting zombies with that.
Don't do that. There were no zombies.
The zombies.
I was sniping. When we
zombies was tough.
I'm hiding. Don't do that. Y'all full of shit.
He said I was sniping. That's the biggest. That's the first
kills?
Excuse when you don't got that many kills.
I was sniping.
I told y'all I was trying to upgrade my gun before the new. I ain't got
you
time
ain't
for this. Continue with
three
the show,
kills,
man.
You ain't going that far.
I was sniping, man.
Let's get into the six, though. Like, what y'all excited about on GTA 6? I mean, we ain't talking nothing about
the
6.
The trailer was definitely dope. I like how they put a lot of realistic stuff up in it.
Yeah.
And I seen something where some dude was showing he made a video of all the things that they had in there, like the signs, what they say, and like little things that you gotta look out for on GTA. Like they had some dude at the beach. The girl, his girl he had to videotape his girl record like how people be doing
right.
Social media.
Right.
They got a lot of like social media stuff.
So they made it like relevant to our time now.
Yep. And the vehicles look amazing.
Yeah.
I definitely want to like create me a car. Like
I read it was I guess a revamp, not a revamp, but basically Vice City, a bigger map
Miami again,
but it's
basically.
Like yeah
to
my
Miami.
City
I saw LeBron tweeted about it, so it's like that I noticed that I'm like LeBron's tweeting about the GTA game.
Oh no, you'd be surprised who like authentic gamers are.
Video games is really getting big right now. I think a lot of more people, even a lot of girls that haven't been playing video games and getting mad, I bet you they about to start really getting into
it.
So.
The girls are gonna start playing.
I'm telling you, to see, they want to know
lot,
why we have so
play,
much
a lot of streamers.
Fun.
Have y'all did the RP of the GTA?
No. Have you?
I have. And then after playing for like 30 minutes, I was like, all right, these people take this shit way too serious.
Do you plan on
that's on PC.
Weren't you going to like make like a server or something like that where people could join your world and stuff like that? Can you do that on the new one?
I read that they're not, like GTA 6 won't be on PC. Like they're not coming out on PC first. It's going to be a PlayStation a PS5, or it's going to be a, what is it called? Next gen exclusive.
Interesting.
So PC don't want to make no money?
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, I'm sure it's computer, so PC can make anything. I'm sure there'll be like a like is RP it? Version that you can download. Like there's a, they can, you know how they can master and right, mix right, all right. that shit in there.
Traditionally, it's a PC game though, no? Or am I mistaken
no.
there?
It came not, out on PlayStation.
Yeah.
I've never played Jackie, so I'm asking questions. Yeah. Jeez Louise,
I'm still shocked
man.
That you never played that
I
game.
I said you had 3 kills and now you're just like upset or something like
I'm about
that.
About to have 4. About to have 4 right now.
Pete, what was your favorite GTA?
San Andreas, bro. Come on. That was the LA version right there.
That was the original. Yep.
Which one did we play? We played the last one? Where we
5.
I barely played it. We were trying to go yeah. to that car yeah, shop, yeah, yeah, yeah. and it was like we so just, tough.
Yeah, so y'all didn't make it to my storyline.
Nah, San Andreas. That was the one right there. It was LA, like, and you just being a SoCal kid, it was like, dang, like this is.
And then they had everything that you could make when I was in LA.
This is what it's like, man.
My favorite thing, honestly, on Grand Theft Auto,
you had the ballers,
is the radio play.
The radio play,
the soundtrack. Soundtracks
be
dope.
Popping, yeah.
They be dope. They be having like old school. Like if you literally make your car old school, you can play the OJs, some old school, whatever, man. And just like
it is,
have
it is
six
fun.
Four, it's dope. It is it's fun. Dope. It's dope as hell.
What up, CJ? You remember yeah. that?
I'll have to
you
get
gotta
into
watch
it.
The story Grove mode Street. Is really fun. Yeah. It's like a good. If they make a good story mode, it's the best. And then once you beat the story mode, that's when you do like the online side yeah. mission, team up with your friends yeah. to make it more fun.
I'll mm-hmm. give it a shot. I always give games a shot, and
I think we all
sometimes
should.
I fizzle mm-hmm. out. But
what was that game we all used to play back in the day? we used to call it the Club
Division.
Club Division.
Club Division.
Club Division.
We Division was fun.
We used to play Division. Remember?
Yeah.
Division?
No,
we used
I just
to love that. We got to do Call of Duty like that.
Like that.
We
like
got that. To.
Look, the NFL season is in full swing, and Prize Picks has got you guys covered when it comes to making some money.
Hold on, I got 59 seconds left. I was putting my projection in. Okay. Look, man, that's right. With the season here, Prize Picks is helping me cash in, baby. Prize Picks is a daily fantasy app, and with the NFL season underway, you can select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and turn $25 into $250, baby. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds, baby.
It's also that time of the year where many sports are happening at the same time. And of course, Prize Picks allows you to pick combo projections across football and basketball with specials so you can support all your teams while still cashing in.
I know for me, but I don't know about you, baby. I've been cashing in, but you look like you've been, I don't know, you might be catching a little
win. Cashing
wind.
In a little bit.
Looking like you got a little swag over there. But anyways, y'all, be sure to visit prizepicks.com/podcastp and use code podcastp for a first deposit match up to $100. And y'all already know what time it is. Cha-ching! Now back to the show.
All right, well, moving on from video games. Pete, we got to talk about it. Just came off a big win against the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, uh-huh. And I felt bad for him. Clay, man, had to hit the game winner over Clay. Little dribble, dribble.
He helped me cha-ching that day.
A little step back. Uh-huh. It was a great shot, and it was good defense. I mean, yeah. Clay really played good defense on you on that possession, but there was 8 seconds left. You knocked it down. Walk us through the play and kind of what you were seeing out there.
I mean, first, shout out to Russ on the rebound.
Big,
right?
Indubitably. Big rebound. Big shout out.
Great sub at the end to put him in because not too many people would make that play or could make that play. Russ is just timely with those. So shout out Russ making that play to get the rebound. And then he kicks it to me. Like, first, like, I don't know. You're just such in a comfort zone in no situation. At least I am. Like, people asked after the game, you know, what was going through your mind? What was this? Was that? Like, it's only two options. Like, either you're going to make the shot or you're going to miss the shot. Like, don't put too much into it, right? So going through the play, I'm dribbling it up, and like all game, Golden State's been like packing the paint. Like Steph and Draymond, you know, anytime people drive, like they're quick to pull over, they're quick to help. So it's funny, I'm actually like, as I'm dribbling up, Clay's backpedaling, and I'm like, I feel like me and Steph making eye contact. Like I'm watching him, and he's like there, like I wish you would drive. Like, yeah, so I'm watching him the whole time, and I'm like, all right, well,
me going to the paint to create something like that won't work. So then now I'm like, all right, if I can just create space, like, and get to this three. Now, I was thinking to tie the game, like, just go for a two, beat him off the bounce, go for a layup, try to get fouled, make a play at the rim. But I'm watching, like I said, Steph the whole time, and he's just sitting there. So I'm like, all right, well, at least if I go quick, give ourselves another opportunity if I miss or we get offensive rebound, like, let me just try to go faster in the clock. But, I mean, I feel like I'm as good as it gets of creating shots off the bounce. And so it was just get Clay off balance, got to the step back, let it go, cash money.
It was a ballsy shot. And correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it traditionally, at least I was taught this, like, at home down two, typically you do go for the two. Obviously, if the three's there. But have you heard that phrase where when you're on the road and you're down two, typically you just go for the three, but at home it's kind of more of a, like, hey, go get the deuce in it in overtime. We're at home. Like, does that ever play a part in your logic when you're thinking about those last second shots?
Nah, not necessarily. I mean, if you can put it away, you want to put the game away. You know what I mean? Up until watching or seeing Steph loaded up in the paint, I was thinking too, try to go get to the rim, or, you know, make the defense collapse on a penetration, and then spray out for a three or try to finish at the rim. But Steph was just there, like, just waiting. Hmm. So at that point, it was like, all right, let's just try to get free for a three here.
How was it when you seen Clay, though, right there? Did you believe, like, Clay might get me too or do something?
No, I mean, and it's nothing against Clay, but, like, I always feel like you're going to need help. Like,
right.
You know what I mean?
It's personal, Clay.
I can get my shot off against anybody. Like, I feel like I can create space. I can create a good look. Regardless of who's guarding me, like, it's all about just, you know, getting free get a shot up. So it's never about, like, the person guarding me. It's always like, all right, where's the help gonna come from? Who's gonna pull over? Like, who can make this shot tougher by coming over to you know, contest as well?
You should have seen how I was acting at the game.
You was acting crazy.
I had peanuts everywhere. I was really enjoying the game, and I was like, what I kept saying, give P the ball. He's hot.
Yeah. I gotta talk about this. You know, when we go to NBA games, your games, Jackie still thinks that it's a baseball game. Do you remember going to the Dodger game with Jackie and the amount of peanuts that were just dispersed underneath his feet?
Yeah.
He's at the game sitting in between me and A1, bro. Fingers full of peanut chips, peanuts in his chin, his mouth. The whole entire floor is just, he's just throwing peanuts. He's the only person at an NBA game, in my opinion. People don't do that at NBA games. It's a little bit more like, take care of the floor.
Yeah.
The janitors or whoever's cleaning those, bro, it was a pound of peanuts just all over the floor.
I mean, they don't care.
I forgot my inhaler that day.
People don't do that, though, Pete. People do not do that. It's not as prominent.
Do you see a lot of people eating peanuts at the game?
No.
Yeah. My Uncle John ate peanuts at the game. That's where I get it from.
Uncle Snake.
He did all
snake.
That.
It's a snake thing.
They did all that. You had a game enjoying. You bought their peanuts. They probably got people clean up them stands. Clean them up.
I don't see no problem with it. I feel
Thank
like
you,
I
Pete.
Feel like they know people will
remember,
eat peanuts.
Remember, he didn't play
you haven't sat
bottom,
in an NBA stands in a while. I'm telling you, it's like
as no, much mess is in there, though. I'm pretty sure that they're not going to be like, this motherfucker that was sitting here.
Oh, I think they do.
It's just like, all right.
It was the messiest seat in the stadium.
Dallas.
Bar none.
So, Pete, the Clippers have a few, you know, big stars that have made some clutch shots in their respective careers. Now, I want to know what having that many players on your team that can make a clutch shot, how do a coach determine who takes the shot? Is it the person that y'all just see throughout the game that's hot or what? How does that work, man?
In the Warriors situation, that was all Phil. That was all Phil, right? Russ got it to me. And in that situation, you don't want to call the timeout because you don't want the defense to be able to set up a scheme or – you know, get their defense set. Like, you want to catch the defense off guard. So in those situations, a lot of coaches won't call a timeout and draw up a play because they want the game to be natural and the defense not be able to scout or see what's going on.
Right, right.
So that in that particular instance, it's just off feel. And I had it. I felt confident in it. T. Lou was going to let us rock and get a good look. And so that's how that happened. But normally with us, he'll drop a play where all four or five of us will have kind of like a progression, right? Like I might come off and have the first look. If I don't have the shot, then now it's a second action where Kawhi's coming off, or vice versa. Then right. If Kawhi don't have a shot, it's a progression within that play that like James comes off at the end. Like it's and then, you know, if that James not open, then Russ to be on a slip out or, you know, a back door. Like it'll be like a progression that all right. four of us are a part of that play. And so it just comes down to like who has the open look, and we just, you know, we read the defense and play off of that.
What makes an NBA player clutch?
I mean, obviously it's making baskets when it counts, right? Like whether it's close games, whether it's for the game winner, whether it's, you know, clutch can be, you know, rallying, being down 10. Like it doesn't necessarily have to be the game winner or because it's 2-point game. Like it'd be a 10-point game, but those shots matter that you made down that stretch
right.
to tie the game or give your team, you know, a chance to win. I won't necessarily say it's just for game winners or 2-point possessions, you know. So I think that's what makes a clutch player, when they can be counted on, they can be relied on with the ball in their hands in crucial moments of a game and can give their team a chance to win.
I consider you one.
Appreciate
definitely
that.
Consider you one.
Appreciate that.
Hey, I got a follow-up question with that because it just kind of had my brain thinking. Out of all the teams that you've played on, like obviously you have a lot of talent here and you're talking about progressions, and really what you're saying is everyone's so good on the team that he's just putting you in a system where there's a bunch of reads and he trusts you guys mm-hmm. like to make the right decision, to make the right play because you guys are all talented. Mm-hmm. Has it been like that on most of your teams? Like in Oklahoma, was it more X's and O's where, you know, this player passes it to this player, and then across the league, would you say most teams are just running progressions and doing reads because everyone's so talented? Or are there some teams in the league where, you know what I mean, it's like, no, you need to swing the ball over here. You're not looking to, you know, if he overplays it. You get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Well, early in my career in Indy, I always wanted the ball. Like, regardless of who was on the floor with me, I just felt like I wanted those moments. You talk about, or you think about Kobe, you think about MJ, you think about like all the greats who wanted the ball in those moments and thrived in those moments. Like that's where I saw myself, right? So in that situation, like it depends on the teams. In Denver, you know Jokic is going to get the ball. Like mm-hmm. your best player is going to decide the outcome of that game, right? Philly, Joel is going to get the ball, right? Like Milwaukee, Giannis is going to get the ball. Like, your best player is going to decide. Now, I mean, obviously, if it's, you know, you need a three, you know, there's obviously going to go to Dame, mm-hmm. right, for a three-point, or they're going to go, like, you know, you got to be smart about it. Like, but if it's 1-point possession, 2-point possessions, you're going to go to your best player. That's where you're going to, you know, hang your hat on. Can you win this game for us or tie this game up for us? And that's kind of how it is around the league. In our situation,
confused.
Kawhi is a finisher, right? He's been, you know, well documented of making clutch shots. You know, a lot of times the first progression in a play is Kawhi.
Mm-hmm.
And then if Kawhi doesn't have the shot, he'll make a play, and I'm the second out of that progression. And then it just goes so on and so on. So for our team, you know, we got multiple, clutch guys. You know, it's just a progression at that point.
Goes back to that the James Harden one. I mean, he was on the wing, but Kawhi had the ball, got stopped, his move wasn't open, and he passed it. But that's definitely got to be an interesting to defend, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you really don't know who's going to get it. You're going to mm-hmm. make the right play, and you guys, you know, have such talent on the team.
They didn't even throw that Powell in there.
Bro, wow. He's been balling. Shout out.
Wow.
Man.
Norman shooting the shit out of it.
He's been six. Going crazy.
He's definitely six man right now.
Yeah, sure. For
he's
sure.
Got my vote.
For sure.
During that Warriors game, P, back to that game, you guys went on a 17-2 run. And ironically, on that same day, the Dallas Mavericks also went on a historic 30-0 run. I don't think I've ever seen that. 30-0. Now, they ended up losing that game,
yeah.
which, man. that must have been tough. Like going on a 30-0 run and still coming up short.
Yeah.
That's tough. But it almost seems like no lead in the NBA is safe. And, you know, we've seen a lot of crazy runs before. Is the reason why leads aren't safe in the NBA because of how talented or how offensively skilled everyone is? Or is it a lack of defense? Is it because the three-point line is so popular right now? Why does it seem in the NBA that leads can just go like that?
It's natural. Like, if you're playing video games, right, and you playing someone and you whooping them, right, you up 30 in video games. Like,
IT.
You probably feed cross. If they score, it's like, bro, I'm up 28. Like, all right, you hit a three. Bro, I'm up 25. Like, you naturally, like, get into a phase of like, all right, this game's over with. Yeah, like I'm relaxed. Mm. Meanwhile, the other team is like, they're pressuring more. They're playing full court defense. They're trying different stuff. They throw a zone in there. They're trapping. Like they might go to a small lineup. Now they're switching everything. So like the whole game changes. And the team that went up, like what was working the whole game now is not working, right? And so the game was easy for that team at that point. Everything's working. Our shots are falling. Now this team is applying pressure. Now it's like, oh, shit. Like, all right, shots aren't falling. Now, like, it's a transition game. They're getting easy baskets. The team that was up, they're playing slower now. Like, they're walking the ball up the court. They're getting, you know, the possessions are becoming smaller and shorter just because one team is playing harder now. So that's really what it is. When you look at the teams, when you watch games and teams go up big, you can almost guarantee, all right, at some point it's going to be a comeback because it just happens. One team is down, it's like, all right, we got to do something. We got to change something up. Even for us, like we've been on sides of games where we were down like 20-plus points multiple times since I've been with the Clippers, and yet we come back and we win, but it's just because we play small, and now we're switching everything, and now our defense is clicking now because we're just running around playing chaotic defense, right? And the other team is, they like, we didn't see that all game, and now y'all throwing this at us like, oh, what the fuck? What's going on? So a lot of it is just based on that, you know what I mean? And then obviously the three-point line, you know, an extra point for three. You're playing harder. You're attacking the basket. You're getting fouled. That stops the clock, you know? So it's a lot that goes into it. Introducing a new segment called The Connect. It's sponsored by AT&T. Stay connected to what matters most with AT&T 5G. And today we are welcoming the hottest superstar in the league, Tyrese Haliburton, the superstar for the Indiana Pacers, who's playing out of his mind. Monday, he just dropped a triple dub. First time on TNT, first triple double. Talk to the people, Tyrese, on what it's like being in the zone, not only for the game, but you just being locked in this season.
What an intro that was. Wow.
Come on, I got you.
Nah, man, I'm in a good spot right now. I'm in a good place mentally, physically. I just feel good with my game right now. And it just, I think throughout the season, there's moments right now where I feel like it's just me, the ball, my defender, and nobody else there sometimes. You know, it's just like a spiritual feeling right now going on. But no, it's a lot of fun right now. And when you're winning, it's always going to be fun.
Yeah, because I saw it watching the game, like, after a big bucket, he like, and I know what that means. Like, nah, nobody out here is fucking with me tonight. Like, I know what that feeling is like. You know what I mean? Like, you locked in, bro. Stay at it.
He's definitely locked in.
So Tyrese, the in-season tournament, it's taken some players and some teams an adjusting time, and it looks like that your team has really taken full advantage of the moment, of the stage. The energy has been fantastic. But what would you say the in-season tournament has shown you just about your team and the squad you have right now?
I think this was the whole point of the in-season tournament, you know, was to get a team like us who the expectations aren't necessarily very high and we're playing for something. And this is kind of all of the dudes on our team, kind of our first time really playing for something. So I think that's the exciting part about it. We got a lot of young, hungry dudes, and last night in Gainbridge was the craziest crowd I've ever played in front of in the NBA. And I imagine that's what the playoffs feel like, but ain't like I know anything about that. But I'm hoping that it's like that, you know. But I think it's just a lot of fun for us guys to come together, and we're really competing for something that means a lot to us, because, you know, outside of Bruce, who's just coming off a championship, not many of us have ever, you know, really played for anything.
Mm. Right, right. Yeah, watching y'all play and watching what well now is Gainbridge Fieldhouse. It just brought back a lot of memories, of you know, having that arena just rocking and fans going crazy. And I could feel the energy, right? Like playing there, being a part of there, being in that culture, that atmosphere, watching it from afar, I could feel what that arena is like when it's going. So, you know, you brought back some memories. You didn't play early November when you guys went to Boston and took a tough loss. We'll just call
a
it
drubbing.
That.
I'm beating.
You guys got bopped over the head 51 times. Obviously, you didn't play that game. You would have counted for 50 of that 51 that you guys couldn't account for. What was the internal conversations going into last night's game that you guys had to approach going into that game?
Well, I think through the course of an NBA season, you're going to have – these big losses. I think every team in the NBA goes through, has like one or two where you just get blown out from start to jump. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about everybody from the Detroit Pistons to the Denver Nuggets. Everybody's got one or two games where you just go and get destroyed from the start to the end. But, you know, it's mm-hmm. hard not to always be like, damn, we just got to wash that one off or rinse that one off and move on. You know, like they were out there, they handled us pretty well in that game. And, you know, even the third unit coming in, Peyton Pritchard getting off, the crowd going crazy. Mm-hmm. We're in the locker room, like, everybody remember this. Like, you know, we're going to see them again. Like, let's keep this on our mind, like, that they out here. And I'm not, like, the score police. I don't care. Like, if we were up 50, I'd be doing the same thing.
Right.
But it's definitely like, nah, let's, like, hold on to this and be like, when we see them again, we got to keep this feeling. So I think since I've gotten traded here, we've had some really good battles with Boston. And we're two very different or two contrasting styles of how we approach basketball, and I think that's the fun part about it. So we just want to come out here and compete and understand that, you know, we belong on the floor too.
Love that.
Well, you know, I want to say your dad must be competing for the biggest fan in the world because I know we all got some incredible pops out there, but you know your pops is like one of the stars on the telecast Monday, man. Every time you was out there whoopity whopping and whoopity whooping, they go right to your dad reaction. So I just want to know how is your dad, of course, one of your biggest fans, but is he one of your biggest critics to this day? Like, is he one of your toughest critics?
Yeah, he is for sure. He just is all about me. You know, the other day we were in Miami getting ready to play. Bus leave at like 4. It's like 2:30. He called me. He said, "Where you at, man?" I said, "I'm playing Call of Duty. I got to go to the game an hour and a half. I'm just trying to chill." He's like, "You need to be in the gym." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "The game, the bus is an hour and a half." He's like, "Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. I'm not trying to be all over you, but you need to be in the gym, man. We got to stop losing." I'm like, "Bro, leave me alone." Like, he's relishing and loving this moment right now. And y'all see him at the game. He's doing, if I do this, he doing this. If I'm holding up three, he holding up three. They put that little video out where he was hugging me after the game.
Him and your mom.
Yeah, everybody was like, you know, Tyrese don't really want to, don't rock with his dad like that. I'm like, nah. This dude was just wildin'. I'm like, come on, bro. hugging me, kiss me on that cheek, kiss me on that forehead. Hey, man.
Chill. That's pops for you.
Yeah, I loved it because not only, like, were you taking it in, pops also was taking all of that in. Like, every moment, it was just like he was soaking up that energy. And you gotta like put yourself in his shoes. Like, that's my boy.
Sure.
That's
for
my
sure,
boy
sure.
out there. You know what I mean?
He is
representing.
When I was a kid, I used to be mad embarrassed. Like, he stopped coming to a couple of my games in like middle of high school because I used to tell him, like, "Yo, you need to calm down," because he'd be yelling at the rest and stuff. But as I've gotten older and where I am in life, like, one day I hope to have a kid in the NBA and I'm going to be going crazy too, you know? So I get it. And, you know, it's hard for him not to show that love for sure.
Come on, Pops. Yeah. Pops is too happy
right now.
Well,
I definitely say his sit down and stand up game is strong, boy.
Crazy.
Pops got a
your dad don't be doing
nice
nothing.
Country.
My dad be chilling.
Like,
actually, for the game winner, he was hyped.
He was hyped
for the game winner.
One?
I watched the highlights and he was standing up.
You got a cool Pops, Tyrese.
P's dad got that cool swag. Courtside, the PG chain. He just be.
Let's talk about your improvement and where you're at now. You know, obviously you're so much more you know, mature, advanced, polished, efficient going into this fourth season of yours. How much would you credit that to being in playing for Team USA and being on that campaign around other star players, that competition, that stage? Like, what is it? What did you feel going into this season that led you to believe you'll have the season that you're having now?
Obviously, had a good summer in LA. Was working on a lot of stuff in my game, whatever. You go to USA, now it's more you're in season mode, you know? Like, it feels like you're competing, we're playing for something. And I think the biggest thing that I took away from USA, and I've said this multiple times now, is like, I'm just tired of losing, man. Like, like USA was kind of the first time that I had real expectations to win something in a long time and still didn't win. So I'm like, I'm coming home, I'm looking at myself in the mirror, I'm like, you got to change something. Like, something got to change. Like, maybe it's not you, but it's you. You know what I mean? Like, figure it out. And so just changing my daily approach. I've always hated the weight room, but I'm trying to, you know, show more love to that. And just like just more love to my work and my craft. Mm-hmm. And honestly, just doing whatever it takes to like put my team in position to win, because like losing is draining. And like I think a lot of guys in the NBA can relate. Our whole lives, we're growing up, we win all the time and we're always the top guy. Right. And then when you get to the NBA, now the top guy or whatever, that obviously fluctuates for everybody. But I think like losing, you're looking in the mirror like, am I a loser? And you're like, I don't know, because I feel like I do winning things. But also I'm like, but that's not what the numbers are saying. And that's not what the film is saying. Like, I'm watching myself lose year in and year out. So I'm just trying to change some habits to win, man, because this losing stuff, it gets draining for sure.
Right, right. And then there's always, you know, the question around guys that play for Team USA. They have an advantage because you're playing a lot later into the summer, leading into the season, so you feel you're already in rhythm. Do you think that has an effect on how your start is going?
To be honest, I think that's cap, though. Like, I think it's cap. We all started the year trash. All the dudes who played USA, none of us were shooting well to start the year. Like, none of us were shooting well. And I think, like, I started the year shooting, I was like 25-30% from three, and then Paolo hit a game winner. And that kind of, all right, I'm locked in now. Like, all right, he got the lid off for everybody. And then they like, B.I.'s been killing. You know, everybody, Ant's been killing. So, I felt like I took some time off after USA and tried to get back into rhythm. But I felt like we were all starting the season ugly shooting the ball and just had to figure it out.
So, Tyrese, in your post-game interview after the Celtics game, there were some reports that you were dealing with some upper respiratory infection, and you took your inhaler at halftime. And I know we've heard of the Michael Jordan flu game. Is it safe to call that the Tyrese inhaler game, or is that a fair gauge? What was going on with that?
Sure, whatever helps build the legacy, whatever it takes.
Whatever the helps. Inhaler game. That's sick.
Taylor Burton, triple-double.
That's the new nickname, inhaler.
Christy, can we get on that? Can we get some marketing there?
Down with Christy with the inhaler.
Christy.
Chris is going to be like, wait a minute, guys.
You know, you guys are obviously playing for the in-season championship. You guys go ahead, accomplish this. Where does that rank in your career in terms of All-Star nod, in-season tournament? Where would this rank in your early career?
I would have to say number one, no question. Because I ain't really done nothing as a team-wise, you know what I mean? So I think this would help catapult, you know, my career moving forward to want to win more and, you know, want to get a taste of the playoffs and play in more highly competitive games. And I was saying that even going into last night. I'm like, this is by far the biggest game of my career. Like, I've never played for anything. All you can talk about are regular season games for me. So, I'd probably put it number one if we're able to do it.
Love it. Love that. Well, Tyrese, we appreciate your time. We don't want to take too much of it. Good luck in the in-season tournament down in Vegas.
Yeah. Do like your daddy. Go to the gym. Get that championship, boy. Go to the gym. Don't play no Call of Duty tonight because the new map is out. Don't think you slick.
Hey, if you need a shooter, holler at your boy. We'll be on tonight.
We'll be on.
Say less.
Love.
Thanks,
love.
Bro.
I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you, Tyrese, for connecting with us. Stay close to the action with fast 5G speeds at home or on the go. AT&T 5G keeps you connected to the people and content you care about.